Lutheran Public Radio is now a nonprofit organization. That means all past, present, and future gifts to LPR are tax deductible. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and mail it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support.
There's one reason that I'm standing up on this stage today. That's because of my Lord up above. I got to say thanks to Jesus. You knew I was going to do it, but I got to do it.
Family Planning Services reduced cost. Contraception will reduce cost to the state and to the federal government.
So no apologies for that.
No apologies, no.
Mr. President, we need you to feed the good wolf within you.
And I'm hungry like the wolf.
To listen to the better angels of your nature and by your example, encourage us to do the same. Mr. President, tag, you're it.
Well, we all heard about it. It was a big newsmaker right around the holidays. The atheists, they were saying, were running their own ads at Christmas, kind of mocking Christmas. Why believe in a God? It's just not reasonable to believe in a God. You know, there are a lot of Christians who would agree. Oh, no, my faith in God is completely irrational. I still have it. I have no basis for it whatsoever, but it comforts me. Why do you believe in God? I can't tell you why. I can just tell you that I do. Well, is it reasonable to deny God's existence? Scientifically, rationally? And how do you respond when someone says, why believe in a God? Just be good, for goodness sake. After all, that's what the old Christmas song says. We'll be talking about God and goodness. Pastor Tim Pauls will be our guest here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's Wednesday, the 28th of January. We're coming to you live for the next 2 hours. You can join us, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. A little later on Issues Etc., Pastor David Peterson joins us to talk about gossip listed in Scripture among some rather deadly sins. Scott Klusendorf will be our guest in the second hour, part four of a five-part weekly series we're doing with him on bad ways to argue about abortion today, confusing human value with human function. Sounds a little technical. We'll explain it in about an hour here on the program. And then we'll have part three of our five-part daily series on biblical examples of preaching. Today, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Famous, famous sermon. Is it all about how to be blessed? Is it all about the moral code, the how-to Christianity? Dr. Carl Fikencher will be our guest and answer those questions. 1-877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor Tim Pauls is associate pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Boise, Idaho, author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine. Happy holidays, you're a baboon. Pastor Pauls, welcome back.
Happy holidays, Todd.
Is it even, well, to use the term so popular among the humanists, is it even reasonable to talk about goodness apart from God?
They would say yes. I would certainly say no, because as soon as God is out of the picture, if he doesn't exist, then there is no such thing as objective truth. It's up to you and me or whoever wants to determine what is right and wrong.
So if we're talking about objective goodness, not just feeling good or thinking that it's good, but something that could be said to be objectively good, that is, by a standard outside myself.
Exactly. A set standard of right and wrong that would apply to everybody in the world.
So how do you respond when you see the humanist or the atheist around the holidays saying, why not just be good for goodness' sake?
Well, because as soon as they say just be good for goodness' sake, you have to ask, well, what is good and what is goodness? And for you and I as Christians, the answer is what is good is what God declares to be good. Whereas a humanist would say, since there is no God, it's up to us human beings by our collective and collected wisdom to decide what's good for us in this situation. And so what's good for us now may not have been good before, but it's what leads to our version of goodness here and now, for now.
I suppose that even those who penned the ad would have some standard of good and bad. They would be able to say that something's bad. If you can't say anything's good apart from the objective existence of God, can you conversely say anything is bad?
Yeah, you know, I think that I can reasonably sum up their position by saying that what is good is what allows someone to live a satisfying life where they can enjoy life and even pick their time to die if they don't want to live anymore, whereas something that is bad would be a belief system, an ideology, a religion that would try to impose some sort of absolute truth or virtue or a set standard of right and wrong upon people.
Okay, one of the arguments they make is that it's not reasonable to believe in God. And they say one evidence of this is look at the world around you. Everybody has their own concept of God. There are as many religions as there are groups of people. So they conclude there must be no God. Is that a rational conclusion?
Yeah, you know, to be fair to them, I think they would say that it's reasonable not to believe in God, not as reasonable or anyways. I just tripped myself up there.
Oh, I see what you're saying. It's reasonable not to believe in God, as opposed to not reasonable to believe in God.
Correct. That's what I was trying to get at. Yeah, and their idea that since there are many religions, all of them must be wrong is kind of like saying since different people have different favorite restaurants, all the food must be bad. You know, conversely, couldn't the fact that there are so many religions or ideas about God instead mean that there is a God out there that people sense? And so they're trying to find him, but they just don't know how. And if there are many attempts to find God, if there are many religions out there, isn't it conceivable, isn't it reasonable to assume that one of them is right?
I mean, I think it goes even farther than your analogy. Your analogy says if people have different preferences in a bunch of different restaurants, then all the food must be bad. They're actually saying if people have different preferences of different cuisine, food doesn't exist.
Yeah, then there is no food, exactly. That doesn't make for a happy holiday, though.
All right. The other thing they say is that God's existence cannot be proven scientifically.
Right. Since God can't be tested scientifically, therefore they would say it's reasonable to say that he doesn't exist. But that's kind of an old argument that just isn't good science, because science never says that something we can't prove doesn't exist. Science just says we can't prove it right now. In other words, science will never rule out something it can't prove or disprove. It just says that's an open question. So to say that God doesn't exist because we can't prove his existence, that simply isn't a scientific or logical statement.
Do the atheists or the humanists who advocate this kind of, you know, why believe in God, why not just be good, do they not only misunderstand God, but fundamentally misunderstand human beings?
They absolutely. If there is no God in the picture again, then it's up to us to determine what's good and what's bad. And as long as God isn't there to establish what's good, then I guess by definition, by default, human beings are good. And where from Scripture you and I know that human beings by nature, apart from Christ, are sinful, they would say human beings, apart from religion, are good. And in fact, religion is something that perhaps leads us to being bad. We're being free from religion actually sets us free to be good and to establish what is good for others.
So what do the American Humanist Association advocate is good when it comes to things like same-sex marriage, abortion, embryonic stem cell research, and the like?
Yeah, you look at their press releases over the last few months, and stem cell research is a good thing because it may lead to a higher standard of life for people who are alive right now. It's hard to argue that that's a good thing for those embryos who would develop into children. With same-sex marriage, they've issued a press release saying that same-sex marriage is a good thing. And their argument, in my opinion, really comes down to same-sex marriage is a good thing because some homosexuals want to be married, and if that's what they want, it must be good, and therefore it should be legalized.
Is there a a shifting of standards here as well? I mean, if it could, if something can be a bad yesterday and good today, then it seems to me the whole notion of being good, you'd kind of have to check in with the humanists on a regular basis to make sure you're still being good.
Absolutely, and humanists or atheists would say the same thing. And perhaps we should clarify that. I guess humanist is the politically correct term of the day used by the American Humanist Association. And an atheist in this sense and a humanist in this sense are the same thing, just that atheist sounds more anti-God, where humanist sounds more pro-man. But it's really the same kettle of fish. The humanists on their website say that good comes because over the centuries and over millennia, mankind has put together a set of behaviors and ethics and morals that most people agree on, and then as history continues to change and situations continue to evolve, then we need to take what we've learned from history, what we've established as morality up to now, and say, does this still fit? Is this still good for our current situation? If it is, great. If it's not, then we are free to make adjustments so that what wasn't good then is good now.
Who makes the adjustments? I mean, do we just take a national referendum, or we've got about 30 seconds before our break?
Sure, and there, I don't know that I found that on their website. They would certainly point to visionary humanists who wrote great books in the past. Whether or not they say it, the answer comes down to whoever has the most power and influence is going to decide what's good for everybody, which isn't a very good humanist tenet at all.
Wow, and it's kind of scary if you think about it. I mean, if the rules are being written and rewritten by those who manage to cobble together the most influence or power, well, we see what human history teaches us about that. Where does it lead? If it's all about enhancing the human experience, human life, there have been a lot of very nasty, bad things done in the name of that. We'll be right back.
My biggest fear is this is not the work of the devil, because there can be no devil if there is no God. And if there were a God, he would never allow such suffering.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc., Dennis Patton, Ron Brooker, Elizabeth Schmeiser, Gary Keller, Michael Schuerman, Doris Kaser, Darren Harbaugh, Daniel Casachihua, and Timothy Gordish. Thanks for your support.
Depression, the Silent Epidemic, is the title of a seminar Tuesday evening, February the 10th, at the Wisconsin Room at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Beverly Yonke is the presenter. Learn how to spot signs of depression in yourself and how to help others who are suffering, deeply hurting, or depressed. Find out more about depression, the silent epidemic, at www.lmcusc.org or by calling 414-332-5732.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Calvary Lutheran, Elgin, Illinois. Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Worth, Texas. Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon. St. John's Lutheran, Evanston, Indiana. Mount Calvary Lutheran, San Antonio, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho. Village Lutheran, Ladue, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa. St. Paul Lutheran, Clarinda, Iowa, Trinity Lutheran, Lebanon, Missouri, Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri, the Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California, Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois, and Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org, and click Sponsors. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tim Pauls is our guest. It's Wednesday, January the 28th. We're talking about God and goodness. or call in number 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or email address talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor Pauls, we know people who are atheists or agnostics. They've been married 35 years, they pay their taxes, they've raised their kids well, they don't run around the neighborhood smashing out windows. They seem to have a faithful marriage, and they seem to be pretty decent people. How do you explain this?
I would agree that can certainly be the case. I would explain that with what our Lord tells us in Romans chapter 2, that he's written his law upon the hearts of all, so that people all over the world instinctively know that there is a right and wrong. And so even a child knows when he's done wrong and wants to run away if he's broken something. People have that knowledge because God has written the law in their hearts. As we get older, we understand that bad decisions have consequences. We understand that good is necessary for society to work well. And so people who do not have any sort of faith in God or belong to any religion still have this sense of right and wrong written on their hearts, and so they're perfectly capable of living a good life and being good to their neighbors and doing all sorts of good to those around them.
It seems as though the humanist in this case might have a great marketing advantage. I mean, they're telling people what they do want to hear, which is you're good, what you want to do is good, as long as it enhances your life, and you don't need God, whereas Christianity paints a rather bleak picture of the human individual, especially with respect to God. How do we sort that out?
Yeah, I think I'd rather hear that I'm good than I'm sinful and desperately wicked, as the scriptures say. But while God has, I think our advantage or our response to this is that since God has written his law on our hearts, it also accuses us. We know what we're supposed to do. We don't always do it. I know I shouldn't lose my temper or be impatient. I lose my temper, and I'm impatient a lot of the time. This tells me that there is a standard of good, and it tells me that too often I fail to keep it. So if I fail to meet that standard of good again and again and again, am I good? My conscience would say, no, so I need someone else to make me good.
This email comes from Kevin in Hamilton, Ohio. He says, can you ask Pastor Pauls what he has found as far as the humanist basis for individual human rights? Tim Keller has tried to prove that there is no basis for an individual to have any rights against the majority without the existence of God. Your thoughts there?
Wow. I have not researched that question personally. I would say that Christianity gives to each individual person the identity of being one created by God and one for whom Christ died, and therefore that gives us an objective value. We are created by God, and we're redeemed by Christ, by his own blood. If that is taken away, then there is no individual value except that which is set by everybody else or that which is set by those who have taken over power. And as you mentioned as we went off to the break, in cases where rulers or societies have ejected God and said there is no God, will establish what is right and wrong, all sorts of terrible things have happened.
So coming out of that, what's the danger of allowing the majority, even the majority, to decide what rights each individual should have and have protected?
Well, as long as the majority has rejected God and therefore says we will determine what is good, then their version of good will be what pleases them. And individual sinners have sinful appetites. They have certain desires, and they have things that they want to do. And as they band together and form groups and coalitions and things, the majority more and more will hammer out some sort of code that allows people to do whatever they want except what? Insists that there is objective truth? That's a scary thought.
You know, there is another kind of form of humanism, which is a more pessimistic form, usually called nihilism, which says there is neither good nor evil, period. There's only each man's will to power, each man's ability to make his own way, to climb atop his neighbor and get to the top of the pile. It's a very popular view among young people today. It's a very bleak picture of the world. What's the Christian response to that? I mean, it would seem to say, wow, things are bad. It acknowledges the badness. But how do we respond?
The response is that if being without God means climbing to the top at the expense of everybody else, then certainly that isn't good. And people should understand that if only one person can be on top, then all others have been lost along the way. To be fair to the American Humanist Association, they would speak against that, even though that's where they would inevitably lead, by the way. But our response to that is that rather than have each one try to climb to the top and become the ruler of all or Nietzsche's Übermann or whatever, we don't look to one human being, one sinful human being, or a majority to establish what is right and wrong. Rather, knowing that we are not good by nature, knowing that we'll follow our sinful desires rather than do what is right, we repent of our sin, we turn from those ways, because God's objective, always true law tells us that that's sin. And then we rejoice that Jesus has objectively declared us to be forgiven, not because of our goodness, not because of the good that we have done or decided to be good, but because he, the Son of God, with a good and perfect will, came to earth and died on the cross for all those sins. And he is the one who sets us free from sin, and he is the one who declares to us what is good.
Who is the Jesus of, I mean, because everybody likes him. They like him as much as Santa Claus. But who is the Jesus of today's humanists?
The Jesus of today's humanists, as in the atheism we're talking about?
Yeah, how do they regard Jesus?
He would be a human being. He certainly couldn't be God because that's not scientifically provable. He would be regarded as a human being who did good and who led a relatively happy life, I suppose, up until his persecution and betrayal and arrest. So I guess they would see that he had a lot of good things to say as far as loving your neighbor. I think they would probably say he was off track when he talked about only one way to heaven, since they would reject an afterlife, and they would certainly have trouble with him saying that he was the exclusive savior. A good guy, but certainly not God.
Then finally, Pastor Paul's... how would we, whether we're speaking to the humanist or the person who's seen these ads from the Humanist Society and perhaps said to themselves, you know, I'm still up in the air about God, how would we point them to the true Christ, to the one who alone is good and good for each and every one of us?
I would try to engage them in talking about if everyone's good, why does the world have so much evil in it? I would try to engage them to talk about the guilt that they carry from their past mistakes, their past bad moves, because if they're not forgiven, then they still carry that with them. As they are convicted by that law they've been carrying on their hearts since conception on, then they, God willing, become ready to hear the gospel and hear that Christ has in fact died to take away that guilt. He's died for their sin, that he might make them truly good in God's eyes.
Is there I mean, many of these people are going to understand Christianity merely as a moral code. And so if I understand the humanist, Pastor Pauls.
Sure.
If Christianity is just a moral code and Jesus is just a moral example, then you do just as well to follow your own, and be careful, but follow your own standard of goodness. What do they need to know about Christianity beyond, well, it's just one other morality by which people live?
Yeah, no, and every religion has a code of behavior and morality, and a lot of them are good. So the question I would ask them is, so what is it that makes Christianity unique? And the answer is not works, not morality, not a code of behavior, but the gospel. The fact that although we are lost in our sin, Christ came and saved us not by our works, not by our goodness, but by his work, by his goodness, by his holiness, by taking our sins and dying. That's the gospel that sets us free, and that is unique to Christianity. You will not find that in any other religion in the world.
Pastor Tim Pauls is associate pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Boise, Idaho. He's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine, Happy Holidays, Your Baboon. You can find out more about Higher Things magazine at issuesetc.org under the On Demand section. Issuesetc.org, click On Demand, or by calling 1-888-448-2359. 1-888-448-2359, Higher Things magazine. Pastor Pauls, keep up the good work.
Thanks so much, Todd.
When we come back from the break, Pastor David Peterson will be our guest. We'll talk about gossip. Now, gossip is so common as to be sometimes disregarded as a serious sin. What is it? What exactly is it? Why is it so destructive? Why is it listed at least one place in Scripture among some very, very serious sins, or at least what we think of as more serious sins? Scott Klusendorf will join us from Life Training Institute after that, part four of a five-part series with him on bad ways to argue about abortion today, confusing human value with human function or ability, and then part three of our five-part daily series on biblical examples of preaching today, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Is it more than just a new morality? Dr. Carl Fikancher will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Wednesday, January 28th. More Issues, Etc. after this.
God is a concept. We measure our pain. Yeah. Pain.
Yeah. Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues, Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues, Etc. Joni Harwell, Josh Rolfe, Dennis Walters, Lewis Zimmerman, Sally Thomas, Alan Smith, Kenneth Thomas, Pastor Marlon Remfer, Clara Crone, and Colleen Carroll Campbell. Thanks for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Controversy and suspicion are constant companions of George Tiller. He's a notorious late-term abortionist in Wichita, Kansas. State law forbids abortion after viability, but it's been suspected Mr. Tiller does them anyway. During a pro-life investigation, a pregnant volunteer, 25 weeks along, went to Tiller's mill to ask for an abortion. When an employee doing the sonogram determined an accurate age of the unborn baby, she tore up the ultrasound photos and threw them away. Then she took more measurements and declared the baby to be younger so an abortion would be legal. The abortion couldn't be done for health reasons because the volunteer woman said both she and her baby were healthy. Mr. Tiller's already facing 19 criminal charges. Now there may be more.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues, Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues, Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. Issuesetc.org.